Hello and welcome back, or if you are here for the first time, welcome to Epicenter. My name is Camilla Foy, and today we're going to be talking about a topic that is incredibly important in conversations about epilepsy, depression. As discussed in the previous episode, when we talk about epilepsy, so much of the focus goes into seizures themselves, how to stop them, how to manage them, what medications or surgeries can make them less frequent, etc. But what about the emotional and psychological side of things? That is why we went over comorbidities last week, describing the parts of life that seizures don't explain, but that are just as real and just as serious. In today's episode, we will dive deeper into specifics, mainly depression and what it looks like for someone with epilepsy. First, let's clear something up. Depression and epilepsy is not just feeling sad about having seizures. It's not a moment of frustration when plans get interrupted. It's a persistent mood disorder that can meet the criteria for major depressive disorder or dysthymia, and it affects more people with epilepsy than you might expect. In fact, depression is one of the most common psychiatric comorbidities in people with epilepsy. To put that into perspective, about 30 to 50% of people with epilepsy will experience some form of depression in their lifetime. Compare that to the general population, where the number is closer to 1 to 10%. That's a huge difference. And here's what's even more important. Research shows that depression often predicts poor quality of life even more strongly than seizure frequency does. That means that in some cases, it's not the seizures themselves, but the depression that has the biggest impact on daily life. And if that wasn't enough, people with epilepsy already have a 3 to 5 times higher suicide rate compared to the general population, and depression only increases that risk further. This is why the conversation matters. So, why does depression happen in epilepsy? The answer is complicated, because there isn't just one cause. Experts describe it as multifactorial, which means there are biological, psychological, and social pieces all working together. If you remember from last season, this is what psychologists would refer to as biopsychosocial. Biologically, there are changes in brain networks that regulate mood, especially in the temporal lobe, along with neurotransmitter imbalances involving serotonin and dopamine. Some anti-seizure medications can also play a role. Psychologically, living with epilepsy can create chronic stress, feelings of stigma, and loss of independence, all of which can lead to reduced self-esteem. Socially, people with epilepsy are more likely to experience isolation, difficulties in relationships, and employment challenges. When you put all of this together, it's easy to see why depression is so common. Certain groups are at higher risk than others. People with temporal lobe epilepsy, for example, have some of the highest rates of depression, sometimes exceeding 50%. Women with epilepsy also tend to have slightly higher rates than men, and anyone with frequent or uncontrolled seizures is more vulnerable. Having a history of psychiatric illness before an epilepsy diagnosis increases the likelihood as well. But here's something that often doesn't get enough attention. Up to half of all depression in epilepsy goes undiagnosed. Why? Because the symptoms often overlap with other aspects of epilepsy. Fatigue, trouble concentrating, and changes in sleep can easily be dismissed as side effects of medication or just part of living with seizures. Patients don't always report mood changes, and doctors often prioritize seizure control over mental health. The result is that depression stays in the background, silently making everything harder. When we talk about how depression impacts life, it's not just about mood. Depression reaches into every part of a person's experience. It affects psychological well-being, causing feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and a loss of motivation or pleasure in things that once mattered. Social life often suffers too. Many people start avoiding friends and family, fearing stigma or feeling misunderstood. work and school can become overwhelming, and the need for independence can clash with the reality of having a chronic condition, especially when depression makes self-care feel impossible. On top of all that, depression can interfere with physical health by reducing medication adherence, which then worsens seizure control. It becomes a cycle that is hard to break. One of the things that makes depression and epilepsy unique is its connection to the seizures themselves. In some cases, depression follows a particular pattern tied to seizure activity. It can appear before a seizure, which is called pre-ictal depression, after a seizure, which is post-ictal depression, or in between seizures, which is inter-ictal depression. These patterns are not something you typically see in depression outside of epilepsy. There are also treatment challenges that are specific to this population. Some antidepressants can lower the seizure threshold, making seizures more likely, so doctors have to choose medications very carefully. That said, options like SSRIs and SNRIs are generally considered safe when monitored properly. And beyond medication, there's the psychological context to consider. Living with a condition that carries so much unpredictability, and often so much stigma, can apply feelings of depression in a way that's different from other chronic illnesses. So, what can be done? The good news is that treatment is possible, but it has to be thoughtful. Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, has been shown to be one of the most effective forms of psychotherapy for people with epilepsy and depression. Mindfulness practices and supportive counseling can also help reduce stress and improve self-esteem. Medications can be useful as well, especially SSRIs like sertraline or citalopram, and SNRIs like venlafaxine, as long as they're chosen carefully and monitored by a doctor who understands epilepsy. Lifestyle changes also matter. Things like regular exercise, good sleep hygiene, and social connection can make a real difference. And of course, seizure control plays a role. For some people, depression improves when seizures become better managed, especially after successful treatments like epilepsy surgery. But the most effective approach is integrated care, where neurologists, psychiatrists, psychologists, and social workers all work together to support the patient as a whole person, not just a set of symptoms. Despite what we know, there are still major research gaps. We don't fully understand the exact biological mechanisms that link seizures and depression. We need clearer treatment guidelines and better screening tools that take epilepsy into account. Right now, many clinics don't screen for depression at all, and even when they do, the tools used may not be validated for people with epilepsy. Suicide prevention strategies also need urgent attention, because this is one of the highest risk groups among chronic illnesses. To wrap up, I want to leave you with this. Depression and epilepsy is not a minor side effect of the condition. It's a serious comorbidity that can affect quality of life even more than the seizures themselves, and it deserves just as much attention. If you or someone you know is living with epilepsy, don't ignore the signs. Talk about mental health, ask for screening, and advocate for care that treats the whole person, not just the seizures. Alongside this, I wanted to add a note in this episode that all information covered is thoroughly researched by myself. However, I am not a medical professional. If you or someone you know is searching for the best advice, please talk to your doctor or another healthcare professional, as they will know the best courses of action to take. The sole purpose of this podcast is to educate myself whilst educating others. That being said, all the sources I used are listed in the episode's description. The same can be said about the previous episode, and all future episodes will also have the sources used to research in the description. Thank you so much for listening to Epicenter. If you found this episode helpful, please consider sharing it with someone who might benefit or connecting with me on social media. I hope you have a wonderful week and see you next Wednesday.